Namaste. Welcome to Consciously Mastering Your Five Intelligences, the first of three free calls to help you fearlessly call forth your work of unmistakable vision, maturity, and depth. I'm Rebecca Ramadevi Preen, founder of Ompreneur. Namaste is a Sanskrit address that means the sacred in me honors the sacred in you. And it's from that space of sacredness that I honor your work here today. And to set that space, let's begin together with three clearing breaths. I invite you to find a comfortable seat. I recommend a cushion or the couch or even your bed, somewhere you can sit cross-legged comfortably. You can set up against a wall for support if you'd like. Just get yourself away from your desk and give yourself this undivided time. We'll be experiencing these practices, which is why I recommend sitting somewhere where you can sit cross-legged and at a wall for support if you'd like. This time together really has the potential to completely blow your mind and change your life. So with that, let's begin. We'll begin together with three breaths to let go of what you were doing before this call and to let go of where you're headed to do and what you're headed to do after this call. So in your comfortable seat, close your eyes for a moment. Take a full breath in, gathering in on the breath all of your attention. And then when you've taken a full breath in, exhale, letting anything you're holding on to roll out on the breath, asking with the breath that anything that's gone before now leaves. And then taking a breath in again, gathering in all of your focus and attention on the inhale with the breath, and then exhaling fully. Again, allowing yourself to release anything that you're holding on to, any thoughts that you're coming from. And last time, breathing in, drawing in all of your attention, focusing on the breath, filling the lungs, and then when you're ready, exhale, allowing anything that has come before now or anything that you're worrying about doing after now to roll out on the breath. And then allowing your breath to come gently back to normal and open your eyes slowly. In this call, I've promised to share with you five intelligences you have available to you in every moment. How to unify those five intelligences to experience wholeness, how to master those five intelligences to create your most mature work yet, and how science and spirituality meet to awaken your deepest knowing. All of this is from the ancient teachings of yoga, which are approximately 5,000 years old. But it's not a concept. Yoga isn't a concept that requires your belief. In fact, nothing in yoga is a concept that requires belief. That's the miracle of it, really. You don't have to believe it. You just have to do it, and you experience results. You experience transformation. You experience wholeness. You experience freedom. Yoga is what it does. So I will offer you an experience of key practices of yoga today as we go along. It's also true, however, that this phenomenon of wholeness brought about by the practices of yoga has a basis in science, in the very laws of the universe at the most fundamental level. And as someone who fell in love with yoga experientially and intellectually, this fascinates me. And it really, the more I learn, the more it blows my mind. That this is how the universe works. And these practices consciously and deliberately use its mechanics that operate within you and your life on multiple levels. It's an actuality. You can experience this. And I'll share with you some of the basis in science that now bears this out as we go along, as well as some of the practices that we'll experience together here. But first, for those of you who may not know me, again, I'm Rebecca Ramadevi Preen. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm also a business strategist and an attorney. I integrate yoga and business principles into the yoga of entrepreneurship. And I mentor solo business owners in this along a radical path of making business a spiritual practice and coming from that space. Because your business is a part of your path. It's a part of you as a whole and why you are here. It's not separate, and yet we compartmentalize ourselves and separate ourselves and separate our lives and the things we do, right? Particularly around our work at times and around business where it has to do with money. That can be a hard place to integrate the rest of our spiritual selves. So your business, your work is a fertile ground for tremendous growth and for, as we'll talk about in next week's call on Dharma, actualizing your own freedom and fulfillment. I've been practicing and studying yoga for 14 years. It's been intricately intertwined in my path as a big firm and a government attorney who has turned entrepreneur. It has alleviated for me what was 20 years of depression and anxiety. It has released me from the constant doing and inevitable burnout of being a solo business owner. Particularly, I've observed in a content marketing model. It also has allowed me, and continues to allow me, because this process is never done, it allows me to shed every would, could, should about being a professional, about being an attorney. Like many professions, has its own narrative about being valuable. And about being a daughter, about being a woman, about being a business owner, certainly, being anything you can name as a title or an identity in the world. It has allowed me to shed layer after layer of what that means. And it has shown me, when I say it, I mean the practices of yoga, have shown me how to hone in on knowing exactly who I am without waiver. How to get out of the way so that my work can come through me. And how to offer that work in a way that's deeply attuned to the needs and the nature of this, to the needs and the nature of my innate constitution, who I am, to how I dance, you know, as an individuated soul with the rest of the universe. And I want that for all of you. I want you to know exactly who you are beyond ego and without waiver. I want you to know your own infinite wholeness and the import of the work that comes through you from there. I know you want that for yourself or you wouldn't be here. And if you'd like to work with me to do that further, I'll share with you how that can happen. But now, for today, we will focus on the content of this call, your infinite wholeness and its infinite wisdom. You can call it spirit. You can call it source. You can call it pure consciousness. It is beyond mindset, beyond intuition, beyond even heart. From it, all these arise. And in fact, what we call an experience as pure consciousness is from where everything comes, not just your work, and to where everything returns. Again, this isn't just a concept that requires belief or faith. It's a phenomenon we can experience. And it's a phenomenon that we now know has a basis in science, in the very laws of the universe as revealed by quantum physics. Quantum physics, which is the study of the physical universe at the atomic and subatomic level, tells us two key things about the relationship of everything in the universe. First, at the most subatomic level, all matter is energy that vibrates. This is a basic tenet of quantum mechanics. Second, the impact of this vibration on other subatomic particles is non-local. That means it directly affects other subatomic particles even when they are separated by distances, distances as large as cosmic distances. This is called quantum entanglement, which Einstein first described as spooky action at a distance. Sounds about right, doesn't it? So, for example, if one electron, so electron A turns right, electron B would go left, and vice versa. And this happens instantaneously. The functionality of this is a vibration. This occurs as a vibration. This phenomenon occurs naturally, and it's ubiquitous. It is the way the universe on the smallest scale and at the most fundamental level works. We, then, at the most fundamental level, are the same as light, the same as sound. We are vibrating energy. And the ancient yogis studied the nature of energy matter experientially. Okay, long before physicists were able to deduce the mathematics and conduct the experiments that now underlie quantum physics, yogis were experimenting on themselves, experimenting about energy matter and the nature of the universe. But their conclusion was the same. We are not one solid, separate physical being. We are vibrating energy of the same substance and connected to the same vibrating energy as everything else in the universe. Okay, so pure consciousness, what we call pure consciousness, the undulating vibration of the universe as a whole, expresses in us as vibrating energetic beings in five energy fields, which in yoga are called koshas or sheaths. Okay, so five energy fields. We show up as five individuated energy fields. These five energy sheaths are how you experience your individuated soul. And each one of them has its own intelligence. The first of these energetic sheets is the physical body. Okay? It's the only body that's dense enough that for us to perceive as matter. Okay? Its intelligence is emotional. It's how we sense how others are feeling. Its language is emotional. It's through touch, physical and emotional. So you can imagine its intelligence comes out in empathy. Its intelligence comes out in crafting, creating something with your hand, using your body to move earth, to plant vegetables, to create. Okay? Emotional intelligence. The second energetic sheath of the body is the energy body. Its intelligence is energetic. In yoga, you know, energy and life force as energy is called prana. Okay, this is where prana exists. This is where prana moves. It's where your chakras exist. It is the system by which, or the energetic force by which we exert energy and we recover. Okay, so if you think about the physical body exerts energy and then we recover. So it is governing of how energy moves in our body, both when we move our physical body and simply energetically when there's no movement of the physical body. The energetic body bridges the physical body with the rest of the subtle, okay, bodies, the bodies that we can't perceive as physical matter. The third sheath is the mind. Sometimes it is called the sensate body from sensory, okay, and its intelligence is aesthetic. It makes sense, the mind makes sense of what we perceive through our senses, which is why we call it aesthetic. We say we can assess beauty. We can perceive and assess what is beautiful or valuable. And the mind processes that. But the mind is known as the great barrier sheath because we most often are slaves to the mind. Okay, it's deft, it's cunning, sometimes it's brutal, and it beats us up. And it's always convincing us that it is in charge. It's got sensory experience to prove that it's right. And this functioning of the mind blocks our access to the other two most subtle energetic sheaths. And by blocking these more subtle energy forces, these more subtle intelligences, it keeps us understanding ourselves as separate and discrete. This is the nature of the mind. It's what it does. As I said, each energy body, each sheath has an intelligence, has a purpose, has what it does best and its own function in how we live. And it's useful to us. But the mind has certainly its drawbacks, as I'm sure all of you have experienced. And the thing about the mind is because this is its nature, it is its nature to run on, it is its nature to be in charge, it is its nature to jump from one thing to another, it is its nature to repeat the same thoughts again and again and again, day after day after day. And because it is its nature, you cannot change your mind with your mind. It doesn't have that functionality. Its functionality is to continue doing what it's doing. But you can change your mind with your breath. And with these practices that use the breath very consciously and very deliberately to quiet the mind, to change the grooves of thought patterns. And we will do that. But I want to get through and introduce you to all five of the energetic fields that are individuated as us in each of their intelligences before we experience these practices. The fourth sheath is the wisdom body. Its intelligence is intellectual discernment. It's the seat of our wisdom. Okay, if we think about our inner wisdom, we think about the higher mind, our higher self, that quiet voice, that's the wisdom body that we're perceiving. And the fifth, most subtle energy sheath is the bliss body. Yes, we all have an energetic field that is bliss. And its intelligence is mystic. It is the seat of our ability to transcend the individual self, to experience and understand ourselves in unity with the rest of the universe. Okay? It's the energy, it's the intelligence in us that understands that we are part of something greater, that we are just part of a vast, vast whole. And gives us the tools to access that. You may notice that as I'm talking about each one of these types of intelligences, that you're noticing that you may be naturally gifted in one of these. Okay? Emotional, energetic, aesthetic, intellectual, or mystic. Okay? Or that you operate from one more so than the others. We are all that way, okay? We're all more naturally gifted in one of these than the other. Very few of us, if any of us, are naturally gifted or inclined to all five in equal measure. And we'll talk about why that is next week in our call on Dharma. Okay, it's not accidental. We all can, however, unify all five of our intelligences to experience wholeness. And we can work to master and consciously use all of them to create our deepest, most mature work and to live our most fulfilling life. Yoga gives us practices to do this. Those practices are meditation, pranayama, which is breath manipulation, mantra, which is the repetition of sacred sounds, and yantra, which is sacred geometry, of which the practice of physical yoga poses is a part. There's actually a sacred geometry to what we call asana practice, to yoga as it exists as a physical form, okay, a physical practice, physical exercise. There's a sacred geometry to those poses. And all of those practices work to unify, okay, your five energy fields so that you can experience the truth of your own wholeness. They provide the means to experience our own place as a vibrational aspect of a whole, of the whole. And they also develop in us deeper and deeper awareness of and sensitivity to each of them so that you can then consciously perceive them and use them with greater frequency and effectiveness. So it's like exercising a muscle. As you strip away the things that mask or feel like they create that separateness, you start to perceive at a subtler and subtler and subtler level and be able to use that information and those intelligences. So let's just take a moment and have an experience of one of these practices and see if we can use it to gain an experience and an understanding of our five intelligences, of the five energetic forces that make up our force fields that make us up as beings, and the intelligences that they bring. So go ahead and settle back on into your comfortable seated position, cross-legged if you can, and we will begin a meditation. So first, just close your eyes exactly how you are, okay? And take a breath in. Don't do anything special, and just breathe normally. But I want you to bring your attention to yourself and your body. Just draw your awareness in so that you're focusing on your body. And I want you to see if you can observe an experience of your physical body. And now see if you can experience your energetic body. This is more subtle. And I want your perception to attempt to go even more subtle and experience the mind. I'm pretty sure you know what that feels like. But see if you can feel it energetically. Okay? And now see if you have a sense of your wisdom body. And concentrating further still, see if you have an awareness of bliss. Okay. Now, with your eyes closed, take a deep, full breath in, filling the body up from the base of the lungs to the top of the lungs. And I want you to hold the breath gently. If you need to release the breath during this practice, you can. holding the breath, fold forward, okay, so that your third eye, that's the space between your eyebrows, is hovering over the ground. And hold. Breath is still held in. And now rising slowly, still holding the breath, and exhaling the breath up as if you could shoot it out the top of the head. And then draw in another deep breath, filling the lungs and holding them, folding forward again, one ohm, two ohm, three ohm, four ohm, five ohm, six ohm, seven ohm, and rising up to release the breath, letting it rise, if you could shoot it out the top of the head. And one last time, inhaling, filling the lungs and holding gently as you fold forward, one ohm, two ohm, three ohm, four ohm, five ohm, six ohm, seven ohm, rising up and exhaling, allowing the breath to rise up out of the top of the head. And now breathing down from the top of the head, as if you could draw the breath all the way down the spine to the tailbone. And then exhaling the breath back up the spine to the top of the head. Okay, and we're going to continue this breath, imagining that you are in a column of light. And that as you breathe, it is drawing a brighter column of light up and down, flossing your spine on the breath. Dropping gently on the in-breath, slightly below the tailbone, and rising on the ex-breath, out-breath, slightly above the head. Flossing the entire spine with a bright white light. And then taking one last inhale when you're ready, drawing it down from the crown of the head all the way down to the base of the spine. And then exhaling it out, rising up, and releasing the breath at the crown. And just returning your breath to normal. And gently drawing your awareness now to your body again. Bringing your awareness to your physical body. And now to your energetic body. To your mind. To your wisdom body. And now bringing all of your awareness to the bliss body. And just noting for yourself, without any judgment, whether you perceive any difference in how you experience these five energy fields or in your ability to experience them at all between before the meditation and after the meditation. So just noting that and then letting that go. This is Tantra. Tantra means continuous or thread, and it is a continuous thread of energy between you and the universe, between you and divine energy, between you, lifetime after lifetime. And also, as I teach it, energy between student and teacher. The yoga I teach, as I said, is Tantra. It's a set of powerful spiritual practices that deliberately use and transform energy to directly experience the divine. Those energies are both inside of you and outside of you. You're not connecting to something that is not you. It is both you and not you. Interestingly, again, I said I was fascinated by how this is progressing. Physicist Roger Penrose, who was one of Stephen Hawking's thesis advisors, and anesthesiologist, named Hameroff, they've developed a theory in quantum physics that microtubules in the human brain, okay, nanoscopic features of the human brain, through vibration at the subatomic level, are an interface with vibration outside of us. Quantum entanglement, as I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, in other words, exists here too, and may be the scientific basis of consciousness. That is just infinitely fascinating. In Tantra, each of these energy vibrations, each energy vibration is an aspect of the vast divine whole, and each one of them has a name. Okay, each discrete vibration frequency has a name and is an aspect of the divine. This comes into play in the next practice we're going to talk about and share, experience, and that is mantra. Okay, I will explain a bit more about mantra in a moment. But what I want to say about the energy vibrations, again, is that each one of them is one aspect pulled out of the divine whole. Each one has a name. And I don't want you to get tripped up by the names, okay? If you're familiar with yoga, with the chakras, then you may know some of these Sanskrit names. If you're used to practicing yoga with out these particular elements, mantra in particular, then names may surprise you. They may throw you off, okay? They may feel like you are talking in a foreign tongue. Okay, and if the name feels foreign or weird to you, I want you to know that you can replace it with what does resonate, okay? Think about abundance or gratitude. You can replace it with river or love. Okay, it's the aspect that matters. You do not have to subscribe to any religion at all to do these practices. I want to be clear about that. Or you can love all of them. You can love all ways, all traditions, and do these practices. This is not about religion at all. If you're of a religious faith, it can go right alongside it and deepen it. If you aren't religious at all, it's about spirituality. As I said, it's about bringing you into attunement, into that deep knowledge of knowing of who you are as part of the divine whole. It's about your spirituality and how you embody it so deeply that it guides your work and your life. The other thing I'd like to say about what I teach is that I teach in a lineage. And I just wanted to flag that for you because you'll hear me refer to my guru, her name is Ma Jaya Sati Bhagavati, and my teacher, Swami Jaya Devi, and that might be unusual from what you are accustomed to. And you'll probably hear me refer over the course of these calls, and certainly in deeper work with me, to their teachers as well. And the reason for this is that yoga is an oral tradition. It's passed down from teacher to student. And that creates a transmission of an unbroken string of energy. Okay, as I said, that's part of Tantra. Is this energy and this tradition, it's more than a tradition, it's an energetic flow that goes from teacher to student. And practicing within this is powerful. You can think of it as, you know, you have generations of yogis who've been doing all of these practices to a point of mastery supporting you. And it's coming right to you and right through you at a vibrational level. Sacred sound in the form of mantra and kirtan is a big part of my lineage. And it's one of my favorite go-to practices for its power to quiet and focus the mind. Mantra, which means mind instrument, is the repetition of sacred sound. And I love Sanskrit mantra because, well, I told you I'm a lawyer. So I have had a tradition of, you know, I have a snarky mind. It wants proof. I'm supposed to support things. So my mind will contradict and criticize any mantra, any affirmation that I do in English. But it won't contradict or criticize Sanskrit. Okay, so it is so powerful in that way in focusing the mind and transcending the mind's patterns. There's also a reason why Sanskrit mantras are more potent and effective than mantras in English. Okay? Mantras in English attempt to alter your thoughts by replacing one thought with another supposedly more positive or uplifting thought. But as I said when I talked about the mind energy force field, that's not the way the mind works. You cannot change your mind with your mind. As, again, quoting Einstein, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that created it. And for me, a lot of times, my mind's a problem. Its patterns are a problem. You may find this too. So we have practices that access a deeper level of consciousness and don't depend upon the mind to do that because the mind, that's not its function. Sanskrit mantra, in this regard, is a shortcut. Okay? Sanskrit is a vibrational language. The vibration of the sound itself is the meaning. Remember I said there's a vibrational energy to every aspect of the divine. Okay? That's what we're pulling out. That's what we're working with, is the energies. Sanskrit is attuned vibrationally to those energies. Each vibration is an aspect of the divine used to awaken consciousness within us and harmonize us to that divine vibration. Sound in general, and Sanskrit in particular, has a deeply harmonizing effect on matter. Remember, matter just exists on the end of an energy spectrum. It's all vibrating energy. The study of the impact of sound on matter is called cymatics. It starts with a C. And as early as the 1960s, Swiss scientist Hans Jenny created an instrument called the tonoscope that showed the impact of the vibration of the human voice on sand, water, and metal filings. So he set about to experiment with the impact of the vibration of the human voice on matter. And he studied specifically at different points the vibration of sacred languages, of Sanskrit and of Hebrew specifically. And he found that they have specific structural effects on matter that common languages like English do not. For example, the sound of om creates concentric ellipses. Sanskrit operates at this fundamental vibrational level, okay, the level of all consciousness, and it's designed to do so. It was deduced experientially and honed and attuned and repeated in order to do so in a way that our everyday conversant languages, okay, that we use to convey meaning are not. They're not built the same way. And they don't function in the same way. So when you chant Sanskrit and when you chant Hebrew, you attune the vibration of yourself, okay, yourself to that aspect of the divine, okay? The vibration, the divine vibration that you are chanting, you're matching your vibration to it. You're attuning yourself to it. Here's what my guru Ma says about mantra. At first, mantra is used as a tool to kill the mind and to bring you peace. Then it's used as your connection to the divine source. Eventually, your mantra will enable you to become God. You do not have to take my word for it. You can experience it, and you can decide for yourself. Again, all these practices are experiential. They are what they do. So let's experience mantra now. Let's experience it with a mantra at the vibration of dissolving obstacles. This is the energy of the divine that removes obstacles. Okay, it goes around them, it dissolves them, has different aspects by which it removes obstacles. And the energy, those energetics collectively are called Ganesha. And it has multiple sound vibrations for all its varied aspects. The most common mantra and the mantra that we'll be repeating today is Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. So let's slow that down and I'll teach you. And when I send out the recording, I will also write this out for you. So I'm going to teach you the mantra. I'm going to give you space to learn it one word at a time. Then I will be leading you in a traditional round of 108 repetitions. Takes about 8 minutes to do that. I will count for you. You don't have to keep track. Just let yourself fall into the chant. And I'll just flag for you that one of the guest wisdom teachers for my year-long group program, the Yoga of Entrepreneurship, Satsang, when she experienced this chant for the first time because I sent it out, some of you may have, who have been on my list for a bit, may have received this in August. But her response was, wow, and I need to work on my stamina. So please, do the best you can. It's powerful. Apparently it does require stamina or a certain breathing rhythm. Do the best you can. Stick with it. We're not going to rush. You don't have to prove anything. No one can hear you. So let's go over it word by word, and then I will lead you in it. And you can have an experience of how mantra affects the mind. So again, the chant is Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. So that's O. So I'll repeat each word, and you can repeat it in order to learn it. Om Gom. And I'll repeat that again. Om Gom Ganapataye Ganapataye Namaha. Namaha. That's Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. Okay, we're going to do it 108 times, so you'll catch on. Now, when it's chanted, it's actually sung. It can be chanted at a monotone, or it can be chanted with an inflection. That's a third up. I'm going to chant it with the inflection. As I have been taught, when you rise up, you are calling out. You are reaching toward and inviting that energy. Again, you can also do this as a monotone. So chanted, it will be Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. Okay? So go ahead and settle on in, get comfortable. We will do our chant, and we will still be very close to our time frame. So closing your eyes, I'll count for you. Do the best you can. Drink in this experience. Taking a breath in to begin. Om Gom Ganapataye Namaha. 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 Om Om 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
And listening. Observing. Is there stillness? Is there silence? Bring your attention to the quality of your mind. At this moment, you take a breath in, exhale fully, returning the breath to normal. Open your eyes. As you've seen, you can experience the impact of meditation and mantra, which is, frankly, all that matters. As I've said, that is a miracle of yoga. It is an actuality. You do not have to believe anything. You just have to do it. these practices are not about bringing about a specific result. It is not about bending, if you will, the universe to your will. It's about bringing you into harmony with the universe, to dance with it, to say, come on, I'm in flow, let's go. It's about knowing yourself as a spiritual being, trusting it deeply, and opening to it flowing through you. It's about bringing this to everything that you do. Who you are is massive, truly. I promise I would let you know how to work with me to fearlessly call forth your visionary work from this space of stillness, of silence, of deep connectedness and knowing. So if you're wanting that to create from a place of knowing who you are in your infinite wholeness without waiver, first, I invite you to experience our daily meditation and mantra with me. We will be doing the meditation and the mantra that I introduced to you on this call weekdays at 9:45 Eastern Time, beginning tomorrow. This is free through March 20th. So I invite you to experience that and witness its impact for yourself over a period of time. Again, it's free through March 20th, and the call-in information is the same as the call-in information for this call and will be delivered to you with the recording of this call. Second of all, for a longer-term work, I am opening up registration to the Yoga of Entrepreneurship Satsang. Satsang is a Sanskrit word that means being or gathering together in truth. It is used for a community of spiritual seekers. This is a year-long small group program where we will be doing exactly that. It's delivered virtually, and I mentor you in applying tantric practices of yoga to access your infinite wisdom, to fearlessly call forth your visionary work from the depth of who you are. To use this infinite wisdom along with your Dharma path archetype, which I'm talking about next week, and your innate constitution, which I'm talking about the week after that, to create a business model. We're going to use all of that to create a business model around your work that deeply nourishes you and your visionary work. And lastly, to surrender into your own freedom and fulfillment. We'll spend 4 months focused on each of these areas, and in each month you will learn and use key practices and frameworks of yoga and its sister sciences of Ayurveda and Vedic astrology. All of those are delivered by audio and video. And also each month we will meet, you will meet with me and five of your peers for a 90-minute live intimate facilitated group to apply the practices to your work and to your business. Okay, so we're going to yoke the practices and the frameworks to the practicalities of your work and your business. And the 90-minute live facilitated group is really the centerpiece, one of the centerpieces of being able to do this. And it is the reason why this is particularly unique. The Yoga of Entrepreneurship Satsang is the intimate as you can see, with a rich curriculum and a lot of space. Participants, ThoughtSong members have commented on the space. They have commented on the pace and what the breathing room that gives them to absorb. So it's designed for you, this program is designed for you to go deep. It's designed for you to be more and do less. It's experiential and multidimensional. Okay, just like yoga. It works on you on multiple levels at the same time. And I don't know of any other program, mastermind, or mentorship like it for that reason. Okay, I don't know of any other program that yokes spiritual practice that is 5,000 years old and we're seeing has a basis in science to how you work in the world. So I offer that to you. I would love to work with you in this way. It begins March 21st. It is a year-long program, and you can find out all of the details and join, if this calls to you, at ompreneur.com/ThoughtSong. That is SATSANG. So until next week, I bid you namaste. Thank you so much for joining me here. I will speak with you soon. Bye-bye now.